like I've heard that before.
Well, it's Zephaniah,
the first. Zechariah.
It doesn't give a date there to work with.
Yes, it does. The date that it gives is the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius. Now, we're talking just a few years from 537. Actually, we're talking now February of 519. And the aid book, or the Your Kingdom Come book, also verify that this is 519 when this was written, the 2nd year of Darius. And it says there, verse 12, Lord Almighty, how long will you withhold mercy from Jerusalem and from the towns of Judah, which you have been angry with these 70 years? But you subtract 70 from 519, and you're going to come up with the year 589. That was the very year that history says that Nebuchadnezzar came up against Jerusalem. He besieged the city for a year and a half, 587. They broke through the walls. And then over in the 7th chapter, it does the very same thing again, except from a different standpoint. Now it says the 4th year of King Darius. So we just add 2 more years. Now we're talking 517.
Has society commented on that?
Yeah, they have. But what they say is the 70 years applies to the 70 years of desolation. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says these 70 years.
Kind of open as to what?
No, it doesn't leave it open at all. It says the same thing here. Again, then the word of the Lord Almighty came to me, ask all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7th months for the past 70 years, was it really for me that you fasted? Well, the fast in the 5th month was the destruction of Jerusalem. And the fast in the 7th month was the assassination of the governor. Well, you subtract 70 years from 517, and you're going to come to 587 again. That's crystal clear.
A person would have to do a lot of research on that themselves to get it clear.
Well, it's a lot more clear than, for instance, I'll give you an example, where the Watchtower Society says in Daniel, the 1st and 2nd chapters, Daniel says, in the 2nd year of Nebuchadnezzar, speaks of himself being in Babylon. So what did they come up with in that Your Kingdom Come book? They say Daniel didn't mean the 2nd year of King Nebuchadnezzar's reign. He meant the 2nd year after the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, you know, that's kind of absurd that an intelligent man like Daniel would say something clearly, and then we were supposed to guess that he meant 20 years later, actually 18. So but the reason they do that is because it doesn't fit in to their chronology, so they have to change those details to make it fit.
How does the tree dream fit in with that?
I don't think it fits at all. And if it did fit, if you did use the 2,520 years, you'd still be off 20 years.
What society does, what we do, sometimes is fit things together as they fit. Something is left open, not thoroughly described, and it fits with something else, and that it must be like pieces of a puzzle. If the edges fit, well, you got to put them together.
Well, I agree. That's what they've done. But they've gone beyond what was written in doing so. They've taken things that didn't apply, and they've manipulated them. The truth of the matter is they didn't even come up with 1914. It was being preached a lot earlier than Russell. He just picked it up from the Adventists and the Millerites and started preaching it himself. But they just concocted these things, going beyond what was written.
Well, individuals can do that, if in some cases that's what was done.
And it appears to me they've been preaching it for over 100 years now.
The 1914 was we never found anything. Everything fits to that. That's the turning point.
Well, I agree it was a momentous year. I mean, I'm not going to deny that. I'm also not going to deny that we're in the last days of the system. But I see nothing scripturally that we can point to say that at this given point something happened in heaven or something happened on earth or whatever, because the scriptures just don't support it. And then we have hinged all of the dates and the chronology and the speculation have all been hinged on that date for 100 years.
It all dovetails together. Everything supports everything else. Revelation.
But it does.
Well, it all goes together.
I don't see that it does. At least from that particular standpoint, the dates don't even fit. They can't even prove the date 607.
What will survive if we're in the last days? What do you feel is going to survive?
What will survive?
Yeah.
honest-hearted Christian individuals.
How about doctrinal matters like Trinity, hellfire, soul?
Well, I don't know, and I'm not to say. I can't judge people on that. I do feel, after having so many things that I believe to be true crumble before me, I would not stand up and say that this man's right and this man's wrong and I'm right or I'm wrong. I can't say that. I think that'd be totally out of line. In fact, 1 Corinthians 8, I thought was a real good scripture. It says, the man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know, but the man who loves God is known by God. And I think that's the key, is he known by God?
Well, there's got to be an individual basis. There's no doubt about that. It's got to be an individual basis.
That's what I believe, that it is an individual one-on-one relationship between Jehovah, Jesus Christ, and man.
If all we could think of about God using an organization, though, it comes together to that. Even the carrying out of the preaching of the good news, that's just such an overwhelming evidence.
You know, I've heard that, and I believe it myself to be true. Last Sunday, when I was at work, I went to this beauty salon we were cleaning up, and I turned on the radio, and it was a religious program, and I was listening to it. And a part of this program was a news program, just like you were turning on the 6 o'clock news. And they were making different reports on all the various missionary groups throughout the world. I mean, there are people doing missionary work all over the world. Now, they're not known as Jehovah's Witnesses, and they may not even be in conjunction with this group or that group or another group, but they're all preaching Jesus Christ and His ransom sacrifice, which was the same message that they preached back there in the first century. And they are doing it on a worldwide basis. Probably more people than the Watchtower Society, not that it proves anything, but there is, in fact, a very large amount of people dedicating their lives to preaching this world around.
But what I've noticed about most of that, if not maybe nearly all of it, not all of it, but nearly all, is that they carry along the nationality and the politics along with it, wherever they come from. That's still their allegiance. Wherever they go to preach Jesus Christ, they're still an American or an Australian or whatever they were before. And if their country needs them, well, that's where they go.
Well, I can't deny it.
In other words, they're part of the world.
There are those who fit into that group, but there's also those who don't.
Oh, sure. I'm sure there are. And like I said before, I can't help but think that most of those are going to come into this organization, come into the truth, because of their heartfelt desire to serve God and do it in the right way. Maybe the other selfish motives that some have, that they'll never reach that, but we can't judge that. But the organization of Jehovah's Witnesses that are fulfilling... Not that they set out to say we're going to preach in 200 and some lands before Armageddon comes, but they did take the commission to preach the good news earthwide, and they've surprised themselves as to how far it's gone.
I would put more credence in it if I could agree with the message they were preaching. I guess that's where it comes down to.
Well,
they're preaching a kingdom established in 1914. I see no basis for that whatsoever from Scripture. And instead of them coming to grips with that doctrine, all they do is keep changing the generation time so they can buy more time. I mean, just since I've been a teenager, they bought themselves 15 more years. When I was a teenager, it was 15 years of age,
yeah.
And now it's down to zero age.
I think that Awake article used the word suppose. 15 years was an age. And then a little bit later on, they said that would be a supposition. It was a speculation that maybe that's the way.
But why should an organization that claims to be the channel, those that feed, meet in due season, why should they have to apologize?
Yeah, probably individuals that
but don't they claim the Watchtower, that these are Jehovah's words?
No, they've never claimed infallibility nor inspiration. No.
But
they
do claim
committing mistakes, as a matter of fact.
They do claim they're God's only channel. They also claim that they're God's prophet in modern times. See, we're playing with words. When you nail them down to something, they say that we're not inspired, but then they tell you that they're a prophet.
Well, prophet comes in a different sense, too. We're prophets. If we read from the Bible, we're prophesying. We're Bible prophets. But it's not our origin. we're not originating that prophecy, and neither is society originating prophecies. They're teaching what God has written down as a prophecy.
Well, it's where they violated 1 Corinthians 4:6 and going beyond what is written that they keep getting in trouble. You got over 100 years of record of doing that over and over and over and over again, and it's like they go off half-cocked. Like the thing with disfellowshipping. At one time, you weren't to talk to anyone who was disfellowshipped. Then they turn around and change that you could. And they turn around and change that you couldn't. They did the same thing with Acts 20:20. They went from one to the other and then back again. They did the same thing with whether or not we're actually ministers.
These are all, you know, some organizational viewpoints that it's been changed. Those are immaterial, really. That's not what it means
people's lives.
What is important is whether or not we believe in the ransom sacrifice of Christ Jesus. I don't think the society has ever...
Well, there's millions of people believe that, though.
Or changed that, even. Whether or not we disfellowship and then you can't talk to them, or no, you can't come to the meeting, you have to sit in the back, you have to come in early, you have to come in late. The superior authorities, whether or not that's changed back and forth to be God, then it's the government, then it's the Christ Jesus and God again. That's really not what's really important, is to accept Christ Jesus.
Well, that's what I've been saying all along, that that's the important thing. But
and then, now you say these 70 years here, when we talk about time periods, how do you know that, where does it say here in Zechariah that those 70 years must begin counting from the 8 months in the second year? How do you know that when he's writing that, he just refers to, like, I could be talking today and say, oh yeah, those 100 years, and I could refer to a time period that's 6 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago and still call it these 70 years.
Well,
how do
we're talking about an angel, first of all, under inspiration, and he said these 70 years. He didn't say those. He said these 70 years. Now, if I told you these 70 years or these last 5 years, you're not going to assume I'm talking about the 18th century. I mean, why do we have to add something to this?
Well, you could be off 5 or 6 years and still say these last few years.
Well, he didn't.
And then I could say, well, I don't think he means 84 and 83 in that period. He means 77 to 82 by saying these last 5 years. Where do you find that it's got to begin right where you say?
Well, it's interesting.
Where does it say that?
It's interesting that it does correlate with literally thousands of manuscripts
that
prove that it's 587.
Thousands of manuscripts. Have you seen them? Where are they?
Well, there's 2,500, for instance, of the records of the sons of Agabi, which were the banking people for Nebuchadnezzar, for the royalty. There's 2,500 of their records which go from day to day to day to day in the British Museum. There were over 4,000 of these records from that one company, a banking company. Every time Nebuchadnezzar bought a chariot, they had a record of it right down to the day. They've got thousands of records from the astronomers. They've got records of the royal inscriptions, the Nevada stone.
They all say 587.
They all point to 587. Not a one of them disagrees with another. I went to 7 different distinct archaeological, historical, banking records and the chronology of the Egyptians, and they all dovetail together 587. And then you take the Bible and put it together, and it also says 587.
And yet you don't answer me why, you know, I don't see right here it says...
I believe that it says what it says. I don't think I should have to make excuses for it. I don't think I should have to add to it or subtract from it. I just take it for what it says. And it says these 70 years. Not those. Those would be back that way or over that way. These is right now, present. I mean, that is the way we use the word.
We're continuing to talk, or want to talk at all, to find something we could say to make you change your mind, to see things the way you've seen them before. And we're not going to do it with this. I find it, and really, our interest is in you. That's the reason we're talking now. If it wasn't, we'd have quit a long time ago and gone on with something else. But I find it hard to see. You're very definite about these dates, and that concerns you greatly about the dates that the society has been wrong on in the
past.
Well,
they're very definite about it.
Well, no, they haven't been there as definite as you. 1914, yes.
No, that's all I'm talking about, 1914.
Yeah. The doctrinal matters, I asked you about that, and you weren't so sure about that. Yet
okay.
Those definitely in the Bible.
A doctrinal matter. They think that the kingdom was set up in 1914. I disagree with that. I think it was set up at Pentecost in accordance with what the Bible says again. At Mark, the 9th chapter.
Yeah. Well, I know what that reference is too, and what we understand it to mean.
And he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come in power.
You know what happened after that, that they saw a vision of them.
Well, he didn't say a vision. So you're adding that in.
No, that happened. That's in the account.
I know they saw a vision,
so
but
we can
that
say,
doesn't
well,
say this
fulfilled.
Applies. That doesn't say that this applies.
No, but that did happen, and that would fulfill it.
No, it doesn't
they
fulfill it.
It.
That was a vision. He's talking about the kingdom. He didn't say a vision. He said, you will see the kingdom. The vision, a vision of anything is not the reality.
No, but you can see a vision. And that's what John saw. He saw these things happening, but it was a vision that he saw in Revelation. But other
but he wasn't
matters,
seeing the reality.
Other doctrinal matters, like Trinity and the soul, hell, those things, if I got it right, you're not sure of. And yet, I know that you can go right to the Bible and prove exactly what those things are.
At this point in time, I'm pretty much in agreement with that. My studies have not taken me into those areas as yet.
Okay.
So I'm not going to take a concrete stance, say, yes, there's a Trinity, no, there's not a Trinity. In regards to that, I do believe that the Watchtower Society is not giving Jesus Christ the credit that he deserves and the emphasis on him that they should. I do think they've not fulfilled the responsibility with regard to Jesus Christ and his position.
These are all independent studies, right? Just you and Laverne?
Of these doctrinal things, yes.
You know, you say your studies, you're not studying with somebody?
No, we're studying at home.
Following somebody's courses?
We're studying at home.
Yeah,
I'd
encourage you to really study into these other things. My impression is that you've gotten so deeply involved in dates and prophecies.
Well, you know, the truth book that came out in 68 or 69, the chapter on examining one's religion, it very much encouraged one to go into examine their religion, and they should not have any fear of finding anything. In fact, it was mentioned later that if there was even one falsehood found in the religion, how could their faith be found on truth? And I guess this is where we've come. Especially, the one thing that really bothered me was the Malawi situation, the brothers that gave up their life for something that was really null and void.
Political compromise?
Well, it was the same thing that...
Would you compromise if you were...
Well, for... See, it wasn't a political card as we think it is. Malawi is not a... there is no party in Malawi. The brothers in Mexico have been doing that same thing for years. And the society knew this and excused it, and yet our brothers in Malawi died, their wives and children were raped. This distresses me because it's not only hiding facts, but it's really a sad thing.
The point that she's trying to make that we found out, and this we didn't find out on our own, was that the society was allowing these people down there by the hundreds to die. In one camp alone, one camp, there were 320 children died of starvation and thirst in this group of people because they wouldn't spend 25 cents to buy a card saying they belonged to this party. There was only one party. I mean, if you were living in Malawi, you were a part of that government. Like it or not, you were a part of the government. buying a card that said you were a part of the government didn't change a thing. You were still part of the government. But while the society is allowing these people to die by the hundreds, this came to the notice of the Mexican brothers at the branch in Mexico. They were disturbed about what was happening there in light of what was happening in their own country then and to this very day. The Mexican men, the males, when they come to be of the age of 18, are required to join what's called the marching army in Mexico. And if they do not have this card, which is called a cartilla, they are not allowed to get a passport, for instance, and some jobs they can't get, government jobs. But what they do in Mexico, the majority do, is that they go to an official and they bribe the official for the card stating that they are in the militia, in the military. And then, at various intervals, they're supposed to go and march, and again, they get the signature that states that they've done the marching. And some of these individuals have even held rank down there in Mexico, and they do so to this very day. And the branch wrote to the society about it. One time, they got back a letter, and the branch said it's a matter of conscience if they choose to bribe the officials in this way in order to get into the military. The branch wrote back a second time to New York, and they wrote back a second time. It's not a matter that we choose to get involved with. It is a matter of conscience. Now, it's hard to believe.
Where did you get this information?
I got this from Ray France. And I heard that he had it, and I called him, and he sent me the actual documents. And I have them in my possession. That's right. From the governing body to Mexico twice, the branch report originally, which was from him, Ray France, when he was on the governing body, and then the two letters from the branch in Mexico. I have all five documents.
Who wrote the letter to the branch office in Mexico?
The Watchtower Society. You mean the one, Ray France, when he was in Mexico, he wrote a report to the governing body about what was going on.
And then the society did.
Mm-hmm. And then the branch servant, or who was ever on that body in New Mexico, or Mexico City, excuse me.
At that time,
they
were
both
Ray France and the governing body?
That's right, he was. That's how he knew about it. So how can they do that? Another thing that it came to light about Mexico, we've been under the impression all these years that they are a cultural organization because the government does not allow religious organizations in there. That's not true. They can be a religious organization, but they cannot own property. And so because they want to own property in their kingdom halls and their branch, they will forego using Bibles in their meetings, they will forego singing songs, and they will forego prayer at their meetings because they want to own property. All they got to do is lease their property from the government, and they can be a religious organization just like the Catholics, just like the Protestants, just like anybody else in Mexico.
Well, I talked to brothers in Mexico, they describe it all different than that.
Well, I haven't been there. Laverne lived there in Guadalajara. She has been to the meetings, and she can confirm that that's the way it is. Their meetings are not like our meetings. And here the brothers in this country were beat up, run down the streets, shot at, killed, and everything because they wanted religious freedom. They wouldn't compromise. And over here, it's no big deal. They got to own their property, so they're compromising for expediency.
Well, I think there's a lot of wrong information there. I don't think it got to you the way it really is.
I've got, like I said, copies of the actual letters, and they make it very clear that that's what the situation is. I do not have the letters about the owning the property bit. I don't have that. But I do have the letters from the governing body to the branch stating that it's all right to bribe officials to be in the military if it doesn't violate your personal conscience. That's absurd.
Was there any more to that, like brothers being appointed to responsibility in the congregation to the woods?
Offhand, I don't recall.
But I'm sure there was a lot more to it than what you got.
Well, I mean, how much clearer can it be? They said it was a personal conscience, matter of personal conscience to bribe officials. That's not clear in the Bible that you have that right, and also to join the military and to hold rank in the military. I mean, when I was a military age, they wouldn't even allow us to work in hospitals. We had to go to prison. If we were to work in a hospital instead of go to prison, then we would be disassociated. I mean, they demanded of us, absolute to the letter.
Well, you weren't disassociated if you were in the hospital. You just weren't responsible. You weren't appointed any responsibility in the congregation.
Well, at the time that I was in the draft, you would be disassociated.
I don't think that ever happened.
Well,
I was there.
I was there at a different time at 18, and that was the stand. They wouldn't allow for it. And so a lot of brothers went to prison instead.
Yeah, most of them did. There was a different way of looking at that. Brothers who worked in hospitals were considered immature and not responsible. If you went in the military, then you were disassociated.
For sure. But not in Mexico. You have your military card and carry it around. You even bribe the officials to get, and it's okay down there. For what reason, I can't understand why they don't demand the same of them as they demand of us, or they demand of those poor people in Malawi.
Well, I think if we knew that all the facts was that they would. I can't help but think that you've got a lot of sour grapes from Ray Franz or somewhere. You're getting the drippings from it.
Well, it didn't, like I told you, I started out to strengthen myself spiritually within the realm of the Watchtower. And getting a hold of Ray Franz, for instance, that was way down the road from there. Of course, by then my loyalties, of course, were waning by the time I got in touch with Ray Franz, because originally I wouldn't touch him with a pole. But turns out even the things we understand about Ray Franz aren't true. And I checked that out by different, well, I called people in Canada, one in Ireland, one in Alabama, to check it out, to see if it was true or not. And it's just, the things we've been reported about the man just aren't true.
All we've had is hearsay, is all I've heard. But it's in a matter like that, a judicial matter, those who are handling the case, the brothers on a committee that know the circumstances, know the situations, and made their decision accordingly, they keep that confidential.
That's one of the problems.
They don't publish it.
That's one of the problems.
But the guy who's disfellowship can say anything he wants to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, the man who was involved with it, of course, he's got his word too, but that's part of the problem with this fellowshipping arrangement. In the days of the Christians, it was a public thing. So we were having this meeting here. The congregation, anyone in the congregation wanted to be a public, to be here to publicize it or to witness that they would be here. And this, and the Council of Matthew 18 indicates that it should be before the congregation. And that's the way it was in the nation of Israel. So there was nothing to cover up there. The congregation knew about it. So, of course, now they don't allow that sort of thing. They don't allow a public record of it. They don't allow the witnesses. But, I mean, that's
one
not that big thing.
Sued for libel, anyway.
That's still not obeying God's laws and His principles.
Well, we would wish that we could dissuade you, and it seems that you're pretty well set in that, and the way you're thinking now. And you've got all the right that we have to pursue what you think is right. As far as organization goes, why? Would you mind waiting just a few minutes? No. So we can talk and we'll go out there and talk about this and come back and talk to you a little bit more.
I'd like to say one more thing.
Okay, please.
Before you do that. And probably save you some trouble. This is a letter to you, actually to the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, Care of Yourselves. Dated June 22, 1984. Gentlemen, 8 months ago, Laverne and I discontinued attendance at the meetings of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society to free ourselves from the time and thought control of the society for the express reason that we had determined to make a thorough scholarly investigation of the teachings of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society as they relate to the Bible. This investigation came to include the history of the society as well as their current organizational procedures. Our heartfelt prayer to Jehovah for his guidance and direction in this matter continues to be answered beyond our greatest expectations. He has blessed us with a flood of information that has enabled us to come to the following irrefutable conclusions. 1. The Watchtower Bible and Tract Society is guilty of continued presumptuous prophetic speculation, beginning with its founder and continuing to the present. Without exception, these prophecies have failed to come true. The society in turn has denied responsibility for these false prophecies. 2. They have tampered with the sacred scriptures in the translation of their New World Translation to conform these with their particular doctrines, to
to give credence to their version, they have gone so far as to misquote noted Greek scholars such as Dr. Robertson, Manty, and Dana. They have used a Bible translated by an admitted spiritist to give support to their translation and doctrine after having exposed this translator some 6 years before the printing of their Bible. 3. They have a pattern of ever-continued doctrinal and policy changes that often make full 360-degree circles. Their new light has gone from being new light to darkness and back to new light many times over. 4. They have a unity that is the result of ignorance on the part of their adherents and forced upon the threat of expulsion from the society as well as their friends and family. This is true even when the society and its representatives are unable to refute the Bible-based arguments of such persons. 5. They have presumptuously interjected themselves into the chain of salvation in violation of Paul's words at 1 Timothy 2:5, where it is clearly stated there is only one mediator between God and men. 6. They enforce the unchristian act of shunning family members who do not agree with the Watchtower hierarchy. 7. They have endeavored to take away from Christians the God-given right to investigate the truth using God's word, the Bible, without the thought-controlling influence of Watchtower literature and the right to express their Bible-based opinions freely. 8. The Watchtower Society is personally responsible for the death and sufferings of thousands of individuals because of their inconsistent application of their own doctrines in various parts of the world, as an example, Malawi and Mexico. The same has resulted due to the interference of the society in the health care of its adherents in such areas as transplants and inoculations. It is with these and many other reasons that we do hereby exercise our Christian obligation and legal right to disassociate ourselves from the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. By this action, Laverne and I have voluntarily resigned from the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society and do not recognize the society or its representatives as having authority over us at all. Since we have voluntarily resigned from this organization, we expressly prohibit you from disfellowshipping us or in any way defaming our character before others. If we are disfellowshipped or are slandered in any way, we will take legal action against you. We do not bear any malice against you, but do recognize the position the society has taken in these matters in an effort to hide the false teachings and incredible inconsistencies within their organization, past and present. Rather than be disheartened at the discovery that we have been misled for over 27 years, we are filled with great joy and eager expectation of a continuing, growing personal relationship with our loving Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. It's signed by Rick L. Townsend and Laverne, and it was witnessed by Notary Public and his signature and affidavits along with it. So, this is for you and your file.
Okay. Yeah, you're right, that does save everything. In a case like this, all we have to do is make an announcement to the congregation that you have disassociated yourselves.
Well, the reason we wanted it this way is because I know, having been in this organization as long as I have, as soon as you announce a disfellowshipping, the gossip machine goes into work the next day, trying to figure out which orgy they attended or what they did here or what they did there. We don't want that. We want everybody to know that we have disassociated ourselves, and that's the way we feel. So, if you have something else to say to us, we'll take our leave.
Is there anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you for coming. And,
thank you.
Don't ever hesitate to get in touch with us.
And I do emphasize, we do have no malice against you or any of Jehovah's Witnesses at all. We love them all dearly.
I understand that.
We just disagree totally with the influence of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society on these people. And that's how we feel. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
There are a number of points I would like to touch on in response to what you've just heard. First of all, the charge brought against us was by a witness to whom we had spoken to in our very own home. And also the letter that I had written was a letter written to my own family in response to questioning of Laverne and I as to our spiritual situation. Now you'll notice that rather than these elders or the shepherds of the congregation endeavoring to restore their brother and sister, They immediately assumed a judicial posture. There were no efforts made prior to this meeting to discuss with us the things that we had talked about. There are a couple of things that happened in that discussion that deserve some clarification. First of all, when we were discussing the year 1975, the one gentleman kept saying, well, they never said the end of the world was coming in 1975. And that's very typical. Any discussion you get into with Jehovah's Witnesses about 1975, surely they're going to tell you that. But it's interesting, as I pointed out to him that I had the proofs, I handed him my notebook, which was open to that chapter on 1975 and has numerous pages of photocopies of what the Watchtower actually did say in their literature. But after he read that first page, he refused to turn the page again. He would not look any further. Of course, he could see himself that there were many, many pages there, and he was afraid to turn to those pages, which is quite typical, actually. I also made mention when we were talking about 1975 about a witness talking to the body of elders in Lompoc. Well, that individual is a circuit overseer, and the point that he was making to that body of elders and to all the body of elders in that circuit was that they should not go around telling the brothers when they were complaining about 1975 that the Watchtower never said it. And he did basically the same thing that I was endeavoring to do, was to show the elders at that time that the Watchtower did clearly indicate that the end of the world was going to come in 1975. And he was counseling those brothers against telling other people that they didn't say such a thing. So it's absolutely absurd when Jehovah's Witnesses tell us that they never said the end of the world was coming in 1975. I actually made a mistake there with that notebook and not keeping it myself. Had I kept it myself and read those things to him, perhaps I could have said a little bit more, but since he had control of the notebook, he refused to turn the pages to prove against what he thought, that the Watchtower did actually say and indicate very clearly that the end of the world would come in 1975. There were some typical lines of reasoning that were pursued with regards to organization. Jehovah's Witnesses are continually brainwashed into believing that God requires an earthly organization. You can hardly read a piece of their literature that does not emphasize this idea. And yet, they can turn to no clear references to an earthly organization in the Christian Greek scriptures. Inevitably, they're going to refer to Israel, totally ignoring the fundamental truth that we are no longer under the Old Covenant. Paul, in his letter to the Hebrews, went into some length contrasting the old earthly law covenant with the new heavenly covenant. But Jehovah's Witnesses would have us serve under a covenant similar to that, having earthly representatives and a whole host of rules and regulations to live by, and in so doing, they're actually declaring insufficient the new covenant. Another point that rarely fails to be presented is that they feel that only Jehovah's Witnesses, through a structured organization, can fulfill the prophecy of the preaching of the good news earthwide. And in so doing, they fail to acknowledge two things. First of all, that there are countless groups of people serving earthwide in spreading the gospel. And they're using means far more sophisticated than just going from door to door. Even the angel of Revelation 14:6 that Jehovah's Witnesses make reference to many times thought it better to be in mid-heaven declaring the good news rather than walking from door to door. Now, some might wonder if this was a typical elders' meeting or hearing. After being an elder for over 11 years, I can attest to the fact that this was quite typical. These men are typical elders, and unfortunately, it's typical also in as much as there's no deep discussion of Scripture taking place. They just don't have the depth perception. They don't get involved in scriptural discussions to a deep level, which is certainly attesting to the shallowness of their arguments with regards to organization and things of this sort. Laverne and I truly hope that this taping will be of benefit to you. And so it's out of love for witnesses and ex-witnesses alike that we've shared this with you, and we certainly do pray God's blessing on all. Thank you very much.